Well, thank all of you for coming back this evening. It is so good to see everybody, and we have some visitors, of course, Joe and Susan. They're our permanent visitors. We look at them almost as one of us. And, of course, Cody is here, their grandson. And, Cody, thank you so much for coming, and please do come back. We love having you here. I want to talk to you this afternoon about profane Esau. Profane Esau. The scriptures give descriptions of the characters of various men. Barnabas is described as a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. We see that in Acts the 11th chapter and verse 24. The woman who anointed Jesus had done what she could. That's from Mark 14 and verse 8. And Job is described as perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That's from Job chapter 1 and verse 1. But in contrast to these good men, Esau is described as a profane man. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16. And we're studying the Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in our Bible class on Sunday mornings. So let us see what characterized this man as profane. Now, the word profane means accessible, lawful, to be trodden. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament defines the word as applied to persons, denotes profane men who are far from God. Their unholiness includes ethical deficiency in accordance with the New Testament approach. But the best definition of Hebrews 12:16 is irreligious. Look with me, if you would, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul wrote in verse 9, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murders of fathers and murders of mothers, for manslayers. Now, if you would, turn to 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Chapter 4 and verse 7. Paul again writes, But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you would. Again, Paul wrote in verse 20, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. One more. Move over to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 16 with me. Paul again says, But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. So these uses of the word profane carries the idea of one who is unholy and one who is uninterested in holy things. So Esau was the profane man. He was a profane man. The life of Esau displays his profane ways. The scriptures relate that Esau was the older of the two sons born to Isaac and Rebekah. And one of the earliest things said about him is that he sold his birthright for a mess of pottage. I want to read that together. That's Genesis. If you would come with me to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25, and we'll read verse 29 through 34. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, that with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Esau despised his birthright. Now, if you would, look at Genesis 26 and verse 34. we'll see real quickly that Esau married Hittite wives named Judith and Basemath. He married those two women, Hittite wives named Judith and Basemath. So when Isaac's health declined, he wanted to confer the birthright blessing on Esau, who he favored over Jacob. This was his intention in spite of the divine prophecy before the children was born, which said, and I want you to look at verse 23 of Genesis 25, which said, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, listen now, and the elder shall serve the younger. So under the providence of God and through the deceit of Jacob and Rebekah, the birthright blessings were conferred on Jacob rather than Esau. And as a result, Esau hated Jacob and he threatened to kill his brother, as we see in Genesis chapter 27. If you would, turn over and we'll read verses 41 and 42. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. And these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. And she sent and called her younger son and said unto him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill thee. Turn to Genesis 28, if you would. Just turn over to Genesis chapter 28, one chapter over. So to keep Esau from killing Jacob, Rebekah manipulated Isaac to send Jacob to Haran in search for a wife from among their clan. Now when Esau perceived that his marriage to the Hittite women displeased his parents, he married an Ishmael daughter, hoping to better please his parents. But I want us to read chapter 28, verses 6 through 9. When Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padanaram to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother, and he was gone to Padanaram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had, Mahalatheth, the daughter of Ishmael's Abraham's son, the daughter of Nebonijah, to be his wife. Aside from his temporary hatred of Jacob, his brother, there is no positive wickedness ascribed to Esau, such as murder, fornication, stealings, whatever. In many respects, one appreciates him more than his conniving brother, Jacob. But Jacob later became a better person, as we read about the story of Jacob. So what the scriptures condemn Esau for, now listen to me, what the scriptures condemn Esau for, his lack of appreciation for that which is holy. His lack of appreciation for that which is holy. That's why he was called profane. This is in the same sense in which he is described as profane, because of a lack for things that are holy, for the lack of things that are holy. Now, if you want to come with me back to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, let's just read that verse. The writer of the Hebrews said in Hebrews 12 and verse 16, lest there be any fornication or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Selling his birthright blessing was evidence of Esau's profanity. The birthright blessing is a precious thing. In Deuteronomy 21, and we're not going to read that, but in Deuteronomy 21, verses 15 through 17, the firstborn receives a double portion of the inheritance. For example, if there were three children, the inheritance was divided into four parts, and the firstborn received two parts or one half of the inheritance. The firstborn usually became the leader of the clan. In reference to the sons of Abraham, the inheritance related to the future promises of the sons of Abraham were A, the land promise, B, the promise of a great nation descending from his loins, and three, the seed promise. But Esau showed his disdain for these blessings when he sold them for a mess of pottage, and later he despised his birthright. Now, there are profane men today. Esau was not the only son of man of faith who became profane. There are many profane descendants of Christians, just as Esau was a profane descendant of righteous Isaac. Children today still squander their spiritual heritage. Esau was an heir of a great spiritual heritage. His grandfather Abraham was the one who was called from the Ur of Chaldees to the great spiritual promises from the Lord. His father Isaac voluntarily allowed his father to tie him to the altar to be slain in complete confidence that God would raise him from the dead. But his faith was not in the heart of Esau. He squandered his great spiritual heritage. Now, many children appreciate his great heritage, and they walk in the footsteps of their faithful parents like Isaac had done. Look with me at 2 Timothy for a good example. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We all know this passage. It's probably familiar to most of us. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6, we see the heritage Eunice and Lois gave to Timothy and how precious it was to him. Verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in the grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou shalt stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." So Timothy's grandmother and mother, they gave him that precious heritage. Many of us have been blessed with Christian parents. I was, who were devoted to the Lord. I was very thankful, and I thank God every day for that. They took us to church to hear the gospel. They gave us a good example. Many of us are devoted children of God because we appreciate the spiritual heritage, our birthright, that our parents gave to us. We treasure this blessing, and we are conscientiously trying to pass it on down to our children. Our spiritual heritage is all that some of our parents were able to leave us. That was the only thing they had, but they left us that great thing. However, there are other children who are like Esau. These children have no appreciation for the spiritual values and sell them for a mess of pottage. They make choices not to become murderers or thieves or extortioners or adulterers or homosexuals and things like that, but they leave God out of their lives. When they grow up, they become profane parents who are too busy running their children to ball practice or to play practice or to the scouts or choral practice and after school or part-time work to have any time left to teach these children God's Word and take them to church. Profane parents raise children who are computer wizards. They're star athletes. They're cheerleaders and stars in the school plays and the choral groups. But they're not Christians. That's the only thing that matters, brethren. They're not Christians. And if the profane parents care enough to come to church, their children obviously have little or no interest in worship service. They have no interest in the Bible classes and other spiritual matters. They come to church, they come to worship without having prepared for Bible lessons, they drag in late at every service, and they're bored to death while they're there. They're just there. They're there because their parents made them come. They are resolved, just as soon as they get old enough to make their own decisions, they're resolved not to go to church anymore, and that's what they do. I have seen churches lose a whole generation of children in this manner. They're just like profane Esau. And Christians, they throw away their spiritual blessings because of the attractions of this world. The spiritual blessings in Christ are such a rich blessing. It's a rich blessing. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 1 and let's read verse 3. Such a rich blessing. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Now here's how Paul described the spiritual blessings. He expressed it in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, listen now, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Think of what these blessings are, brethren. They are A, a forgiveness of sins. They are B, the present relationship with God and His children. They are C, the hope of eternal life. And D, the best life possible on this earth. That is what the spiritual blessings in Christ are, such rich blessings. This is what makes them such rich blessings. But profane men throw this away because they esteem it so lightly, take it so lightly. These blessings are not as important to them as to what they want today. A mess of pottage, just think, a mess of pottage means more than great, rich spiritual blessings. Spiritual things are not as important to them as being with a socially accepted group at school, climbing the corporate ladder, achieving wealth, and things like that. When men give up their spiritual blessings in order to attain such things, they are displaying the same spiritual traits as profane Esau. Jesus told us about the relative unimportance of such things when he said in Matthew 16 and verse 26. And every time I read this, it just goes through me to think that we'll do these things. He said in Matthew 16 verse 26, he said, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Just think. What have you profited if you gain the whole world? You're the richest man in the world. It doesn't mean a thing if you lose your own soul and spend eternity in hell. Not a thing. Because you're not going to take it with you. Now children also display their profane ways in whom they choose to marry. In this respect, they're like profane Esau, who thought marrying Hittites was nothing insignificant. The text of the Genesis clearly intends for one to conclude that Esau demonstrated his unfitness to receive the seed promise in two ways. First, how little he esteemed his birthright blessings. And second, whom he chose to marry. He didn't care. He didn't care that much. So when Esau chose to marry these women who had no faith in God, he manifested his lack of spirituality, his profane ways. Now we have no indication that Esau's wives were wicked women. They just didn't have any faith in God. Many of our younger people today have manifested the same profane ways when they marry people who have no interest in helping them go to heaven when they die. That's what it's all about, brethren. That is what it is all about. And as a result, these marriage relationships generally pull these young people further and further away from God. And churches squander their heritage. History records instances of birthright blessings being sold just as Esau sold his blessing. Usually these blessings were sold for something more substantial, but Jacob bought Esau's birthright blessings for a bowl of bean soup. A bowl of bean soup. Esau was looking at the moment, the very moment. He didn't think about anything else. He thought about here and now, the temporary things of quenching of his hunger. That's all he cared about at that minute. He gave it all up for a bowl of bean soup. There is no indication that he was starving to death. He was just plain hungry. To quench his immediate physical appetite, Esau gave up a very precious blessing. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 again. Hebrews 12. Brethren and friends, how frequently men lose light of the eternal matters because of their present wants and desires. Jesus was able to look beyond the momentary suffering for more and abiding eternal inheritance, as a Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 12 verses 1 and 2. He said, wherefore, seeing we also accomplished the battle with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is looking that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was not like Esau. Come with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The great apostle Paul, he looked beyond the sufferings to the abiding inheritance in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 and 17 when he said, listen, I love this passage. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look at not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul was not like Esau. He wasn't like Esau. So we look back at Esau's trade and think how foolish he was, how foolish this man was. But men are still making equally foolish decisions today. Men get so little in exchange for their souls. Maybe a few minutes of pleasure and fornication. Maybe a few years of popularity in high school. Maybe a few years of fishing and boating. Maybe a few years to enjoy riches and so on. A few years with a marriage companion and so on. These are but messes of pottage, my friends. They're messes of pottage. Bean soup. When compared to the soul. Esau was not the only one to purchase bean soup for the soul. He was not the only one. Esau was also a great grief to his parents. You don't have to go with me, but back in Genesis 26, verse 35, it says, which were a grief of mine unto Isaac and Rebekah. They worried about him. He gave them a lot of grief. Profane children cause grief to their godly parents. I've had parents tell me with a sense of pride about their children's secular accomplishments in the business world, about their educational achievements, about their humanitarian awards. But I have seen tears well up in the eyes of the older saints when they're asked, are your children faithful to the Lord? The pain that these parents feel from witnessing the profane attitudes in their children who have walked away from the faith of God is manifest even after many, many years. And believe me, I personally know. Like Isaac and Rebekah, who were grieved over Esau, these parents grieve their children's apostasy from God. But I've been around other parents who don't appear to be grieved at all about their children's apostasies from Christ. Their hearts were not broken by children who are living without hope of eternal life. These children perceived that eternal life really was not all important to their parents, and they decided not to go through the same pretense that their parents did. Perhaps I'm not overstating the case to say that the profane parents are not grieved by profane children. Esau. Esau despised his birthright. And one of the significant statements is made about Esau after he sold his birthright for a bowl of bean soup. The text says that Esau despised his birthright, Genesis 25, verse 34. The sense is that Esau regretted what he gave up for his bean soup, and to cope with it, he despised his birthright. There will come a time when those who give up eternal life for whatever they receive in exchange for their soul will come to despise that exchange in the same way that Esau did. But you know what? It'll be too late. They may hate their job, which they sacrificed their children's best spiritual interest to obtain. They may hate those peers whom they wanted to impress that they compromised their values. Whatever the situation, one will eventually regret the decision he made, just as Esau did. In conclusion, men who make decisions that leave God out of their lives are profane men. They might not be immoral, but they have no appreciation for the spiritual things of life. They are unscriptural, carnal people. I want to close, if you would, by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read down verse 3 to verse 13. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. Paul says, "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one." Listen now. "And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." We're all going to be accounted for, brethren. We're all going to account for everything we do. All of our labors will follow us. Now, a Christian who will not confess his public sin has either not repented of it or is too proud to admit his mistakes, which is another sin. God said, He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That's from Proverbs 28 and verse 13. I beg you and I plead with you, if there's anyone here this evening who has sinned against God and has not asked for forgiveness, please take this opportunity to do it now by coming forward when we sing the invitation song, and let us pray with you and let us pray for you. And if you're not a Christian, please, please come forward now. As we stand and sing, repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. And again, you've heard me say this, you'll rise from that watery grave right out here. You'll rise from here a new creature, born again. Every sin you've ever committed in your life is gone when you rise up out of that water. You're a new creature. You're born again. And if you should die today, you're on your way to heaven. Think about it. Think about it before you leave this building. Please think about it. We can help anyone in any way. Please, please come forward as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.